Hello, everyone. We were muted, but I unmuted us.
Wonderful.
Hello, everyone.
That's good.
Welcome to episode 245, that is 245, of Millennial Movie Talk. This is the episode after the famous 244 episode, known after Michael Herman. I'm not ready to let that go, but here we go.
Yeah.
And this is going to be Michael's last episode for a while, too.
Indeed.
I should say that. Michael is
peace going be with him.
On a spiritual journey. He's going to
go a vision
to Cambodia.
Cambodia
for the next 2 months to work with the underprivileged and build them
and
housing.
Spread the good Mormon word.
If only I was actually that kind. No, I'm only going to be greedy and eat a bunch of food in Europe.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. How long are you going for that till there, buddy?
8 weeks.
8 weeks. Woo! Euro tour.
Look at that.
You're just like skipping all of winter, hey?
Practically.
That's like no,
we'll be back for July and August, so.
Oh, okay.
I hope your experience will be like the popular film European Vacation, starring Chevy Chase.
And your antics not the popular will be
fun. I'm kind of not hoping to run into Chevy Chase. I hear he's a bit of a dick.
Hopefully it's not like that. It's not like Taken. It's not like Hostel.
Michael, Chevy Chase or European sex traffickers?
You know what? I feel like sex trafficking is a side of Europe that people don't really explore.
I feel like that's a side that, it's underrated.
Maybe you should watch Hostel just as a cautionary tale.
You know what? I don't want to watch Hostel. Thank you very much.
Can you watch? Can you watch on your plane ride over? I need you to watch every movie that has someone going to Europe and things going wrong.
Well, I already asked Gemma if watching Lost would be a bad idea, and she was like, "Yes, they literally have a plane crash." And I said, "But it's only the first episode. I feel like watching Taken. It will be wouldn't go down great."
Maybe Castaway.
Castaway 2.
You know, I'll really scare the shit out of Gemma. I would just watch Air Crash Investigation the entire time.
Every time
a cool graphic pops up, I'm like, hey, look at this.
Oh, no, when the plane shakes.
Quick, Gemma,
like,
say something to the black
just like
box.
In this episode, when this plane rapidly crashed.
Quick, Gemma, let's go to the black box.
Goddamn. Yeah, you should watch the hit Broadway show Come From Away, which is all about all the planes getting redirected to bumfuck nowhere when 9/11 happened.
Excellent
musical.
I think there's a new HBO show about flying to Europe. I think it's called Masters of the Air. Maybe you can watch that.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, that might be
isn't that the Apple? Is that not the Apple one?
You know what? That is on Apple.
With Austin Butler.
Let's just forget that.
Anyway,
and
carrying on.
Saltburn, Big Dick Man.
Yeah. Moving on.
I don't have a question. Maybe I do have a question. What's your favorite plane crash?
Oh.
That's
okay.
A good one.
I have one I want to say straight away.
Obviously, look, you've got your Mount Rushmore of airplane crashes, which you got your 9/11s.
We won't mention that one first.
You got the North Tower and the South Tower.
You got North Tower,
that's
South
two
Tower,
crashes.
Pentagons.
Yeah,
you got Pentagon too. It's in there.
Yep.
That's a double header.
I feel like Pentagon's open. I feel like Pentagon's open to be.
Hey man, that where's the plane?
They didn't quite
hey
get
man,
there.
That wasn't a plane.
Yeah. Oh, sure. You have like
and
then what's the
obviously
the
one
Malaysian
that went missing?
One. Yeah,
yeah,
the
MH, Malaysian.
The one I never found.
Whatever.
That's how good that one was. They never found it.
No. So there's.
It really did. It's really
out,
good at hide and seek that game.
Yeah.
Rule
out planes accidentally or maybe purposely shot down by the Russian Federation. And what do we have?
Well, I want to throw out the one that they've made two movies about now, with Society of the Snow, the one about the football team that got
stranded.
That's a good one because...
I'm throwing that one up there.
There's a tragic plane crash, but they made some friends along the way.
And you know what? They also made pretty good box office total, I assume.
They also made a pretty good snack out of each other, I hear.
Yeah. Oof. They made some friends. They made a meal out of some friends.
Made a meal out of you and me.
Bless. No, but yeah. Definitely favorite plane crash movie. I think Castaway, which I already mentioned.
Castaway's up there.
Castaway's a good one.
I would actually throw out Society of Snow in there. I throw that out. That deserves to be thrown in there.
Look, it's not English.
We're all thinking it. We're all just avoiding it because it's definitely number one. But Madagascar 2 is...
Yes, it's in there.
The best plane crash movie ever.
What else is out there? I mean, look, TV shows you throw in Lost and Yellow Jacket.
Lost. Yeah, I feel like Lost is up the top for me.
Me and my friend, we were watching Yellow Jackets and we wanted one thing to happen all show, and they finally did it, like episode 2 in season 2. Ooh. We never watched the show again because we got exactly what we wanted out of it.
You were just we didn't need to
see anything else. Yeah.
Goddamn.
There's the plane crash in World War Z, which Brad Pitt survives somehow.
There's the one in The Mummy, the famous one in the Tom Cruise Mummy film, where they released the trailer without...
Do
you remember they released the trailer for Tom Cruise Mummy and it only had the voice? Like, they fucked up the audio for it.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's the funniest thing in the world.
In the official release?
In the trailer, like when they officially released the trailer, yeah.
You might say that that release was a bit of a plane crash.
Yeah. I am going to shout out Airplane / Flying High.
Okay.
They don't exactly crash the plane from memory, but I mean, like, that entire film is a plane crash.
I just want to tell you good luck.
One scene in The Incredibles where they crash the plane.
Shot down.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
They also, the jet over the ocean. That's right.
And Miss Incredible stretches out her dump truck to form a parachute.
That's why she's so elastic, is that's where she keeps all of the elasticity.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yep, you said it.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah. Just thinking back on that scene now, as an adult, having not watched Incredibles in a while, like from memory, that scene's pretty harrowing. Like, that's a pretty deeply like troubling, scary scene. Now that I think back on it,
if I remember, the children are gonna die.
Yeah.
And Miss Incredible's like, Violet, if you don't make a force field, we are all going to die.
And then the plane gets hit.
Yeah.
And what does Violet do, guys?
Scary.
What does Violet do? She doesn't make the force.
No, she can't do it.
And her mum has
to. Yep. Goddamn.
And they all die. And that's the end of it, The Incredibles.
So that's why The Incredibles 2 is so wild.
That's right.
Because
they're just all back. It's crazy.
Plane.
Tom Cruise. There's another Tom Cruise one. There's War of the Worlds.
Oh, yes.
There's a plane crash scene in that. It's pretty harrowing.
There's both Sully, where he crashes into...
He deliberately crashes.
Now, is that a crash? That's not a crash, buddy.
That's
an emergency landing.
That was a ditch.
Now, have you guys seen the movie Flight, where they have the plane upside down?
We might end up in the Hudson.
Sorry, what?
No, but I know it's...
The Denzel Washington Flight movie?
Yeah, that's Denzel when he's on drugs, but he does the right thing.
Yeah,
and then that's a problem because they're like, oh, you're on drugs, but you saved everyone.
Final Destination, of course.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. I'm just looking up a couple here. There's a bit of fun one. Obviously, Castaway, like Chris said.
Castaway's the best one.
It is a good one.
It's a great movie.
World War Z was number 2 on the list, the second best plane crashing films.
Do you know who directed Castaway?
Yeah, it was Back to the Future, man.
Yeah, Mr. Zemeckis makes a good movie. Mm-hmm. Knows his plane crashes. There's the Robert Pattinson movie, which has nothing to do with 9/11. Then right at the end,
has everything to do with 9/11.
There's that one.
What movie is that?
What is it called?
Remember Me.
It's like a romance.
That one.
It's a romance.
Oh my god, I forgot about that one.
And then, right at the end, he's on the phone with the other interest.
Yep.
And he looks out the window, and the plane's coming.
Insane.
And it's like, oh, the whole movie didn't matter because he died. On
why would you? Why? Oh my god. Yep. On that good 9/11 movie, extremely loud, incredibly close.
It's the little kid.
Oh, it's sad, man.
His dad died, but he's autistic.
Fucking
wasn't
sad.
Tom Hanks' dad? Was Tom Hanks' dad?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, Tom Hanks was his dad.
Yep. It's deeply, deeply sad. I remember we all watched that as a family and all of us were just bawling our eyes out. It was very sad.
He just has hope and...
That kid, and he goes and like interviews everyone and chats with everyone. And, oh, man. Oof.
Oof.
Zemeckis has made some good films, but he's made some shit films, if I'm going to be completely honest.
And what are the shit ones? Like Who Framed Roger, Roger Rabbit? That's famous.
That one's very good.
That's famous for being good.
I haven't seen it. His 2022 Pinocchio film that he made for Disney Plus was really bad.
Oh.
2022, past his prime. Didn't even know he was still making movies.
Yeah, I would say... Is the Polar Express bad?
No, Polar Express is good. It's a kid's movie.
Get over it, Alex. It's good.
It was magical when I was a child.
Apparently, Welcome to Marwen was bad.
I remember the trailer for that so well, and I just never gave any shits to actually seeing that.
I wanted to see it really bad, and then I heard it was bad, and then we didn't go see it.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
Apparently, he directed Monster House.
Really? Ooh.
No, that's interesting. He didn't direct Monster House.
I got a plane crash movie for you.
Ooh.
Top Gun.
Which one?
Both of them have a crash. The first one has a much more in the story crash.
And an emotionally driven crash.
That's right.
Is a jet a plane?
Is an F-14 Tomcat a plane? Yes, Alex.
Alex, I want you to know that I am going to go out of my way to clip that bit of you saying that and just post it no context everywhere that we have an account.
Why?
Just because I love that line. It's great.
It's a jet plane.
You were just so serious.
Tom Cruise is a plane. I believe he is a plane.
He...
On all levels except physical, he is a plane.
What about helicopter crashes? Does that count? That's an aerial vehicle crashing.
We do a movie news and review show.
movies, TV shows. We've spent
13
and WWE.
Minutes talking about plane crashes.
That's it. Movies, that's how you get the real YouTube community in. Wow. Do you think our video is going to automatically get one of those little like, know the facts? Like, please look into trustworthy sources.
You like plane crashes?
Might for our 9/11 comments, perhaps.
Yeah.
No, 9/11 was real when it happened, and we acknowledge that.
Yeah, but jet fuel can't melt steel beams.
No, but it can make them hot and malleable.
Classic.
And it can affect their strength. How about that for a bit of facts? Okay.
What do we want to talk about first this week? Because there's a couple things on the agenda that we got a big trailer today. I also looked at Letterboxd and saw that Alex had reviewed two movies that I haven't heard anything about yet. Like newer ones.
Three.
I didn't know there was a third one.
There was a third one.
And then we haven't heard from Chris on both Civil War and Fallout. And I'm hoping more people have watched more Fallout.
I've watched no more Fallout.
Where do we want to start?
Well, Chris, I also want to talk to Chris about Shameless.
Ah, yes.
Because I know Chris is getting deeper and deeper into Shameless like I have been.
I'm all up in Shameless.
Yeah.
Are you shameless about your Shameless?
It's the show is shameless. Of certain
characters. But like, I can't believe, I guess we're talking about Shameless first.
Get into it.
I still can't believe how much this show makes me feel for some really, really bad characters. Because I'm
evil, not like they're bad characters.
Yeah, well written, just bad intention characters. I'm in season 8 now. So I've got, I watched a lot of seasons over the past week. And I've got my favorites, which are it's Lip, Carl, and Frank. They're my three boys. I hate with a passion Sammy and Debbie. And Chris, how are you feeling about where you're at? Obviously, because I'll talk to you more because I don't want to reveal anything you haven't seen.
Okay. Yeah, pretty on board with those characters. I don't hate Sammy and Debbie, though.
Okay.
I haven't... Sammy's, you know, she's here, but, you know, she's doing some annoying things, but, you know, she's... Frank's fucked her over pretty hard, so...
As he's done to all of his kids.
Yeah, which she didn't realize yet. She was kind of confused that why the kids just don't care about him and would happily let him die on the side of the road. And then she's realizing why that's a thing.
I just love how persistent he is. Yeah. Every time he walks into the house, he's told to get the fuck out, but he'll still walk in the next day.
The way he will find out about something, like someone he can get something off, and just full bore, like, go for it. Like,
he's so intelligent too.
Yeah.
Like, even when you hear the way he talks when he's drunk too, and he goes off on his little tangents about society, he's very well spoken and very articulate and uses big words in the correct in the correct context.
There's the basically, like, where's my car episode, where he goes to the bank to collect his settlement money and finds out that he collected it the day before, but he went on such a bender that he just doesn't recall it at all and doesn't have it anymore.
You finished that episode?
Yes. So
I was howling.
So he has to retrace his steps and work out this massive bender he went on to find out if there's any money left. And yes,
I was howling when he fucking, when that little, he was like, well, that leg alone cost 40 grand.
And he runs away with
it. Takes the kid's leg and runs.
Yeah, so he accidentally gave away his money to a children's charity and wants it back when he's sobered up.
A children's charity that's like there to afford prosthetic arms. And arms and legs for children.
Yeah, and he just grabs physically it takes one of the children's legs and tries to get away with it. And the little girl is like, that's my leg. Oh, what a character he is.
So good.
My favorite, even better than that for me, is with the taking advantage of the organ donor family. That had me howling.
Oh, it's,
I can't really say without ruining anything, but there's some sad dad that loves his son and Frank taking advantage of him. The scene where he gets in the bed and like sleeps because he knows it'll work. Oh, I was losing it. The guy tucks him in.
And they set that up like the season before by the dad having all of the people who he knows his son's organs were donated to for dinner. Yeah. So he can be like, it's our final dinner with our boy.
Yeah, so they seemed a bit crazy, but then, Frank capitalized on that immediately.
The stuff Frank's doing in the later seasons too, it's extremely funny.
I mean, rewind back to earlier on. Frank actually fucks a woman to death.
Bro, when they call her to tell her that she's got a new heart and she can get a heart transplant, and he goes, she died last week, and hangs up.
And then fucks
her to death.
Brayden looks confused.
What?
He finds out that a woman is on the track waiting for a heart transplant. She's very weak, and he forces his way into her life, becomes like her carer,
as he does with everyone,
and then pretends he's in love with her so she'll marry him so that as soon as she dies he gets her house, right?
Okay. and the insurance money.
Yeah. And then so she decides, look, I want to go out on my terms, we should have sex, but I might die because, you know, like, my heart can't handle it. And when they're preparing to do this, he gets the phone call that she can go in for the heart transplant. Hangs up, doesn't tell her about it, and then proceeds to fuck her to death, and then doesn't get the money anyway.
Jesus Christ. It's
glorious. And this is why we love Frank, because he literally just indirectly killed a woman.
Yeah.
And then he just walks out onto the next scam because he didn't get anything out of it.
Wild.
Yeah. I love him. Chris isn't at peak Carl yet, but he'll get to peak Carl.
Carl's doing pretty well right now. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. But yeah, it's and Lip's always great. Is Lip in college?
Yeah, yeah. Lip's,
what's he doing in college?
He's become like the second most responsible Gallagher, and there's a few episodes where he starts playing dad, and I really liked that. It's a really good show where there's obviously, I'm like 5 seasons, so like 5 years in, and like you're watching them grow up, and that's why the writing's so amazing, because like they're growing into adults, and especially Lip, like the transition from episode one where he's like 15 to like now where he's an adult in college, and like how he starts taking on responsibilities and he starts being, you know, a father figure to the younger siblings, and especially seeing that with Debbie as well. Now Debbie's like started high school, you know, at the start of the show she's like, you know, under 10, like she's like hardly a character at all, she's just one of the like little kids, and seeing her like we're literally like becoming a woman and like going through all this stuff, like crazy, crazy good show in that sense.
Yeah, we love Shameless.
Yeah, and same with Carl. Although Carl's just a little...
Carl's some shit.
Carl's shooting stuff with his Uzi when he's like 10, and now he's in high school, so it's excellent, glorious.
Oh, we like Carl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Shameless talk.
Yeah.
I can rattle off the three that I've seen.
Yeah, let's get it. I want to hear some of these thoughts.
I'll go in order of how much I liked them. So worst, we'll start with the worst and we'll move our way up to the best.
I like.
All right. Starting in with the worst was Late Night with the Devil.
Okay.
This is one I was excited for because the concept was really cool. It was like a late night show horror movie. All I really knew going into it was that it was a horror movie set on the set of a late night show where the host is trying to talk to possessed people to get extra ratings.
Yeah.
And for me, the best thing about this movie was the concept, and then they just really did nothing with it. It's just you're watching like a semi-documentary thing. You're watching the segments of the late show, and then there's some behind-the-scenes footage of them discussing the segments after they end. I just thought they never really did anything super interesting. They just did exactly what you thought they would have done with the concept. You were just watching a late night show. The setup was really good. It was entertaining for the most part, but the ending just didn't pay off for me. And I didn't really like it. So I ended up giving it a 2 out of 5. It was.
Should it have played around more with the whole, like showing you the full program? Or should it have gone away from that, do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. I just know that when I was watching, I went, this is fun. This is cool. And then it just never paid off. The ending was a bit shit and I didn't really enjoy it. I felt like we got really good setup with a really cool concept and nothing ever came from it.
Damn. They can't all be winners.
No. 2 out of 5. Now my number... The next one, this is Abigail. This is unfortunate. I'm really confused by the marketing of this film, because if you know what the film is about, does anyone here know other than Braden what the film is about?
Yeah, I've seen the trailers, so I get you can sort of pick it up from the trailer, right?
Chris,
what's that?
Do you know what the movie's about?
No.
Abigail, okay. Are you ever going to watch it? Be honest with me.
I think I quickly read the synopsis, which I've already forgotten. Something to do with is it a kidnapping or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this film's marketed. They reveal in the trailer, they reveal on the posters, and they reveal on everything else, is that this little girl is a vampire.
Yeah.
Or a vampire/monster. And the way they do the trailers is that these people have kidnapped this little girl who they find out is a vampire, and that's the movie. It's about them running away. Except for the first 35 to 45 minutes of the film is them realizing she's a vampire.
Oh.
It's like them slowly like it's a big moment when they reveal the little girl's a vampire, because weird shit's happening and they're like, what's going on?
And you're there as someone who's been forced to see a trailer before a movie going, she's a vampire.
Yeah, like, we know she's a vampire. You revealed it in the trailer
yep.
that she's a vampire.
So this was just marketed really weirdly because they could have kept that surprise.
Yeah, if it was kept as a surprise, it would have been... Yeah, it's just, you know, it just loses its tension.
Yeah.
In those scenes because we know what's happening.
Yeah. It could have worked really well if its trailer was just clips from that first bit where they're like, what the fuck's going on? Like, we've kidnapped this girl and all this stuff. And then it's like, oh, weird shit's happening. And then they're giving you little bits of, like, you know, them, like, hiding or, like, sneaking around or fighting or whatever. And you don't see what the monster is. And then if you're in the movie then and you're like, oh, shit, it's her. Like, that would be fun.
And I've gone in with it. And when I was watching it and I've gone in with it being like, all right, I'm not blaming the film for this.
Yeah.
Because these people made a film and then they got fucked essentially by marketing. So just reviewing the actual film, I had a lot of fun with it. It's either a 3 or 3.5 and still tossing up.
Nice.
It's directed by Radio Silence, which is the team that directed Scream 4 and 5 and Scream 5 and 6 and Ready or Not.
Okay.
So it's them. It stars. It's got a good cast. It's got Melissa Barrera from obviously Scream 5 and 6. It's got Dan Stevens from Godzilla Times Kong.
Oh my god!
And other movies. It's got Kevin Durant, not Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant.
It's got NBA basketball player Kevin Durant.
He's probably the most famous for being Blob in X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Oh my god. You know, okay. Yep. I know exactly who you're talking about now.
Exactly. When I say him, you're going to know.
That. Wow.
It's got the last film appearance from Angus Cloud, who was in Euphoria. He played the drug dealer in Euphoria. Mm. He passed away.
Damn.
And it's got Catherine Newton, who I'm not sure, Cassie Lang from the new Ant-Man film.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And she was also in Freaky. She was in Blockers.
Yeah.
And Detective Pikachu she's in as well. So that's the cast is one of the best things about the film. They got a really strong dynamic. There's some scenes where they have to reveal the backstories of the characters, and they're done actually really well. It's not just like an exposition dump. It's done extremely, extremely well.
That's good.
By Melissa Barrera's character having a sort of skill, and they all learn. From that, it's gory as fuck.
I was gonna say,
especially I remember seeing, Act 3.
I remember seeing the trailer, and I was like, "Wow, this looks like a lot."
Mm-hmm.
And that's a trailer, so
the little girl is excellent.
Yeah,
she's awesome. She was she was in the Matilda.
Oh,
Netflix
yeah.
Matilda. I don't know who she plays. Maybe it's Matilda. She's Matilda.
Oh, she's excellent. Good for her. That's fun.
Yeah, she's awesome. The third act gets insanely bonkers in terms of they did something I really didn't think they were going to do, which I respect. I'm not sure if I love it, but it was super unpredictable.
Yeah.
But yeah, and Giancarlo Esposito is also in it. Overall, it's
you threw that brick out of nowhere. Where'd that come from?
I know. I had a lot of fun with it. I've given it a 3.5. I'm still mulling over, but it is a lot of fun. I can see myself watching it again. Maybe just 10 minutes too long. It's an hour and 50 something. If it was an hour 45 or an hour 40, it would have been perfect.
Oh, so close.
But yeah.
Okay. Good movie. Cool.
I really just let down by the marketing spoiling everything.
Really the marketing and maybe an ending that's maybe too fucking twisty and crazy for its own good.
it kind of jumps the shark a little bit or?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. I feel like this is a film that will do quite well when it's just like on a streaming service or something.
Yeah.
Like.
The last one.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Nice. That's it. Get it out.
Is one I saw this afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Before doing this. And that's called Challengers.
Oh.
This is the Zendaya threesome movie.
Yes.
Except for it's not a threesome. It's just a little makeout session.
It's a love triangle. Oh wait, really? It's not a full threesome?
Nah, it's a little makeup sesh. So get temper. There is no threesome in the film.
Okay, we're all lowering. But our there expectations. Is a
love. There is a love triangle.
Yes.
So this is directed by the man who did Call Me by Your Name and Bones and All.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
And this movie is awesome.
Yeah.
Really, really, really good.
Ooh.
Great, even fantastic. Some would say.
Damn, it's getting better by the second. Right.
We're really climbing the hierarchy of compliments here.
The three main actors being obviously Zendaya, Mark Faust was. I'm not sure if everyone here has seen the West Side Story remake.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael Yeoh. He's the leader of the Jets that gets murdered. Yeah. That's not a spoiler. West Side Story is an old.
I was going to say, yeah, that's
we,
not
we
a spoiler.
We all know. We all know the leader of the Jets.
Juliet dies at the end.
And then Josh O'Connor, which I don't know if I've seen him in too many things, but there are three main actors.
Yeah.
And they're all phenomenal. The writing's phenomenal. The tennis. So this is the tennis love triangle movie where Zendaya and two other tennis players. Zendaya's married to a famous professional tennis player who is on a losing streak, and he crosses paths with his once best friend, who was also Zendaya's ex-boyfriend.
Ooh.
And so this movie jumps a lot from present day to 15 years ago to at some points 13 years ago to some points earlier that week. There's a lot of jumping.
Okay.
We jump, you know, if there's a main chunk, like it's the main chunk is this final tennis game between the two friends and Zendaya watching, and that's used, and then like that plays, but throughout that they jump to tell the rest of the story of the movie,
cool.
which is slowly making the tennis game they're playing more interesting.
Ooh.
And what the movie does so well is that it makes you change who you're rooting for.
Oh,
throughout the whole film.
Okay.
Like on one point you're on board with Jetman, and the other point you're on board with the other guy. Chris, I think you're really going to like this because do you remember our fucking favorite thing from A Quiet Place being the dive, the callback to Dive?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
There is a callback in this movie that rivals and maybe better than that.
Mm.
And yeah, the score is also amazing. It's like a techno score by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross.
Oh, Trent Reznor, yeah.
Trent Reznor, sorry. Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, they do the score for this one, and it's a techno,
ooh.
Like
it just like upbeat kicks 90s. Ass.
Yeah. The tennis match is incredible, and the other matches. There's points where you're the POV of the ball.
Oh my god!
And you're just getting hit around.
Damn.
That's cool.
You get POVs of the tennis players. You see the rackets in their hands. It was a film where, from the most part, I was like, this is a 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
And then we got to the final the final part, the last 15 minutes of the film, and so much happened, and I just went, well, this is just better than what I was thinking before. This is elevated. Like, the film does so much setting up, and it's got so much great payoff in the last act that I'm just like, it's a 4.5 or even a 5. I don't know.
Damn.
It's really well acted, really well directed. It's exciting for a film about tennis. I realized that after hearing a lot of Americans talk about this movie, that they don't really delve into tennis a lot.
Yeah.
Because I feel like tennis is more of a bigger culture here, obviously with the Australian Open.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
Here, because they're like, oh wow, didn't know tennis could be so interesting. Like, I was really worried that a movie about tennis is going to be so boring. Well, like, I'll even sit down and watch the tennis sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. There was a...
If you get a good game of tennis, it's...
I remember one specific moment from my childhood when my family, we were all on vacation up in the Gold Coast, and my dad and my sister had gone to sleep. I couldn't sleep and I was just like staying awake until I got sleepy. And my mum was just sitting down reading on the couch and I sat there and on the TV there was a tennis match and we just watched the entire freaking match until like 2:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it's compelling.
Yeah, it really is a fantastic movie, and if anyone gets a chance, go see it.
Damn.
Because it's awesome.
It is has gone up my to-watch list immediately then.
Yeah, really glad that this one came out.
Goddamn.
Yeah, and that's all the new ones I've watched. And to quickly throw my 2 cents in, I watched Pirates of the Caribbean again, because it's not? A 10. It's a 10.
It is
a 5 out of 5.
It is a perfect movie.
It's a perfect movie. The score, the acting, Barbossa, yeah. it's really great.
You're in one.
That's why. Yep. It's best start believing ghost stories, Mrs. Turner, because you're in one.
So freaking good.
Take nice. A walk.
Well, speaking of cool characters with messed up faces and kind of rotting skin.
I'm going to take my headphones off because I actually want to watch this show.
Yeah.
I'm only three episodes in, so.
Okay, so let's just, we'll just talk up to that then, should we say.
Okay, well, I haven't even finished episode one.
I'll go like this when it's okay for you to come back.
Okay, this is fun for me.
You just hang out. Okay, Chris and Michael. Is Chris here?
Hello.
I'm here.
Okay, good. I really want to talk about Fallout more because it's such a freaking good TV show.
It is, isn't it?
So, Chris, you've finished it?
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Okay. Okay.
Last episode, very tired. Need to rewatch it.
Very, very fair. A lot is, it's like, it's a big culmination of everything.
It is.
Refresh Chris and I on where you were up to so we can discuss just that.
Episode 3, our main character, what's her name? Forget her
Lucy.
Name.
Lucy.
Lucy is with Ghoul and they're trekking through the desert at the moment. And the last thing that we sort of got was the flashback of him doing the vault boy pose in the jacket.
Ooh, yes.
In the jumpsuit, sorry. And then we have our good old Brotherhood of Steel, Maximus with Thaddeus now.
Yep.
After killing the giant
The new squires arrived.
Oh, yes, the big axolotl.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's pretty much, that's where we're at.
Human fingers for a mouth.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So that's sort of where we're at. Didn't expect my boy Ben Linus to be dead already and have his head chopped off.
Yeah, that's what I was wanting to hear about.
But you know what? He always plays those small roles.
Oh, and he did such a... That scene with the campfire where she wakes up and he's just sitting there?
Sitting there. Mm. That's some lost level shit of him just like creeping about.
Oh, it was good.
Yeah. But no, look, so far, I mean, when the show makes me actively want to go and play the game.
Yep.
It's doing a good job.
Because you just want to be in that world more.
Yeah.
And the music in the show got me back in the vibes.
The thing, I love it because like, something bad's happening and you're not getting filled with this like dreadful sad music. They're playing some like upbeat sort of music you'd have come from your Pip Boy as you walk through the wasteland.
Exactly, yeah. That's what made it feel so real. Because they're fighting the axolotl and it's, you know, I can't remember which
one's
playing.
Every fight is to some like more upbeat music. You're not like
three dog in your ear.
Yeah. It's good. It's doing a good job. So I'm excited to watch some more and play some more, even though I will probably not get the chance to play.
Interesting. You said what's the main character's name? Because it is Lucy, but we don't really have a name for her yet. Like in terms of the, because all the games, you know, Fallout 3, you're the Lone Wanderer.
Yes.
New Vegas, the Courier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fallout 4 is the Lone Survivor.
Yep.
You know, what's Lucy? She's the...
I would call her Vault Dweller.
The Vault Dweller? Now, Fallout 1, it's the Vault Dweller.
Well, yeah, fair enough. But, like,
but I only know because I saw a post about this, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, everyone... I think this is one of my favorite things about the show is
I think
how
because you're jumping
much they're
from...
exploring that side, of, like the like almost the like politics and the class divide of it all.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
it's really interesting because obviously the first episode we get the like you get everybody like story differently. I was not expecting him to have all already met up by episode two.
Yeah. I did not think that would happen at all. And then all of a sudden episode two is like, nah, they're all fucking here. Every single person we've been following is in this one.
And what they did so well is the characters, their motivations are so quest-like.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Like obviously well, Lucy's on a quest to find her dad, which is perfect, obviously, for Fallout 3.
Yeah, she's literally, I don't know how many times in episode three, she's like, I just want to find my dad. I need it to find my dad. I'm finding my dad. Please, I want to find my dad. Like, is the shit over and over again? And it feels like you're going through like quest dialogue of them. Like, what do you want? I'm trying to find my dad.
Yeah,
okay, it's Fallout 3.
Speech
even
check.
Just all of like, that with like they've got their main quests with their MacGuffin and you know, or their thing that they're trying to get.
Mm.
And then you also have they nail side quests as well. Because you get that moment where Maximus is in the power armor and he spots the two guys fighting.
Yes, of course. And they're like, that is totally an encounter you would come across in the game.
Random encounter. And guy was fucking my chickens. Like,
The elixir man.
The elixir
it's
man.
It's like, what also gets me is like, yeah, those just that line drop, like, oh, dude was just fucking my chickens.
Yeah.
And,
the language is very game-like. The game was never afraid to drop a few F-bombs.
In the episode three when the Raiders are trying to like get into his power suit and he manages to get his arm in it and just squishes the guy's head.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
So one of the things I've been thinking about is like this show is perfectly walking this line where it's a great show for people who love the games because they're getting to explore more of the world and getting like new elements of it. And by the end of it, no spoilers, but you're getting like a pretty good look into more than what we've really seen before, which is cool. But then you're also, it's great for newcomers entirely because it's just a fascinating show because it's funny, but it's also really dark and it's also really violent.
I
feel like if The Boys and Invincible, if they weren't at such big hits for Amazon, I don't think the show would be as violent, but like it also fits with Fallout because the whole VATs and everything.
If it wasn't, that's in the first episode when there's the big Raider reveal, I was straight away like, oh my God, there's blood getting splashed everywhere. People's heads are getting shot off. They're doing this right because that it needed to be that way. You know, Fallout's a game where if you played three, the dialogue's ending and you're literally spamming the VATS button so that the
I need to hit them before they hit me.
Yeah, the second the dialogue actually closes, you click, click, click on their head and you blow their head off before they even get their gun out.
Yeah, classic.
And that's how it should be.
And they commit to that.
Yeah.
I feel like this show does a great line of job walking the line between fan service and giving us things that we know from the games and stuff, but not overpopulating it that someone new couldn't understand what's going on.
Yeah,
and probably a good time.
I just hope it makes people want to play because some friends from basketball were talking on Sunday night as we're walking out and they're like, we've never played the game, but we've heard the show is great. We want to check it out. And in the back of my head, I'm like, please play the game.
It's like,
yeah, I'm sure it will drive them to that if they like the world that they see. And I'll say, good time to bring in Alex because Alex, I think you've seen an episode. Oh, his earphones are off.
Bring him in.
Wave at him.
Here he comes. Here he comes. You ready? You ready? It's happening. Alex. Alex. Alex.
Make movements.
Alex. Alex.
Hey, I'll
Alex.
Message him. I'll message him. Ready? Ready?
Oh, no, he's all right. He's all right.
All right, ready? Ready? Alex.
I'm back.
You've Alex. Seen at least one episode of Fallout and you've never played the games. Your first introduction to the universe. Thoughts?
I said last week it's a bit of
fun. Oh, okay. It's a bit of fun.
I'm interested. It's been over a week since I've watched it, so. I like Jackie. I'll call her Jackie because that's her name of Yellow Jackets.
Fitting.
The brother from Hannah Montana was a nice little surprise.
Dude. You are, yeah, again, you're not ready for how good he is. Week.
And then obviously the real Paul Atreides.
Yes, thank you.
Also, I'm looking forward to watching the rest, and I like Walton Goggins. I've always liked Walton Goggins.
But the universe, you like the universe?
I like the universe.
What do you think of the vaults? What do you think of the vault dwellers? Are they a bit
the
goofy?
The vaults are fun. Some of them are goofy, but I feel like there's going to be every vault's going to have a different vibe.
You would be right.
He would be correct.
I do want to mention one final thing in terms of how good this show is going on world building. Yeah, that's fair. I believe it's in episode two, so I make sense that Alex has taken his headphones off for this, because one of my favorite things that this show has done is that it is filling out the world and giving enough without over explaining things. Because there's the scene where they're in post the shootout when Walton Goggins has been eating cherry tomatoes for some reason. And he reaches into his pocket and throws a bunch of caps. And he's like, for the tomatoes. And to anyone just watching, they're just like, oh, yeah, he's just thrown like their money around or anything. And at another point, they reference caps and stuff. Like, at no point do they turn to the camera and go, we use caps as for money. Aren't we wacky and crazy? And on our weird post-apocalyptic times, we're using bottle caps as currency. Like, they don't dumb it down and do that. They just commit and move on. And it's really cool.
Yeah, it's just there.
Like, I love that. It fits so well for filling out a sci-fi fantasy world where... yeah, you're not just treating your audience like dipshits.
Yeah. Surprised they don't use NCR dollary dues, but we don't know if the NCR still exists, which they should because, you know.
I guess it depends when in the timeline.
They're not in this area for some reason, but they're definitely around because they are a big player in this universe. So
no spoilers.
No.
Anyway. Good work. And we're back.
The last thing I was going to say was the vault dwellers. This is not a spoiler. Anyway, I was going to say they have done them so well. Their little plot line where they have the raiders in custody and they don't know what to do with them.
Oh my God, yes.
It's funny.
That was this episode, yeah.
Like, sir, you'll hurt yourself. please, sir, please don't do that.
What is their vault? Done. They're like they're a meritocracy or something.
Yeah.
Like they're all told to be just like as good as possible, and like
it's like China,
but like in like just the weirdest way. Like oh,
yeah. So yeah, that whole plot line where they have these like absolute scum like drug addict raiders, you know, yeah. And they're just being so polite to them.
Yep, they're giving them Jell-O mold cake and stuff. Like,
yeah, please
gotta
don't
give
that.
Them a formal education.
Yeah. It's hilarious and it's so perfect.
Yep. Oh yeah, yeah. You guys are in for a treat. Let's bring him back in.
Wave.
Here he comes. Here he comes. Come on. Come back.
It wasn't even a spoiler,
we better be
Alex.
Fucking done now.
And the last thing that I want to say.
Now, a big ass trailer dropped today. I really want to discuss with y'all. Because,
Michael's gone. That's fine.
Michael's just
Yeah, because I didn't like the joke, so he's gone.
Okay.
Big ass trailer dropped today. The official full trailer, not just the little teaser trailer. For Deadpool and Wolverine, I assume everyone here has watched it.
Nope.
I put money on Chris not watching it.
Didn't know it was a thing.
I did not realize it was.
Probably should have made sure we watched it before we done.
Now, is this Mr. Jackman?
It is.
Jackman.
Should we just watch it right now? Is that a thing we can do?
Yeah, Chris, it's not too crazy in terms of revealing what the story is.
They do a surprisingly good job of giving you a lot to enjoy in this trailer and getting super hyped for it without actually like spoiling like fun cameos or anything like that.
I am not interested in the slightest, and I probably wouldn't watch it just because I'm superheroed out. I can't do it anymore.
Chris, I'll be honest, as someone who's also superheroed out, in terms of I didn't even go see the latest Marvel film in theatres, I waited until it was free.
Whoa.
I know. It's bullshit.
Like even Deadpool 1, it was good. It's better than a lot of the other ones. Even then, I was just like, yeah, just not into it.
Deadpool 1's good.
Yeah, again.
I enjoyed Deadpool 1.
I can see its quality. It was better than Chris, a lot of the other ones. Movies. I just was just not interested anymore.
All right.
Chris, I'm going to tell you this trailer's worth it just for Hugh Jackman alone.
Yeah, a little bit of Hugh I can get into.
Bit of Hugh Logan, Chris?
Does he sing any songs?
He does.
Is this the greatest show?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. How'd you know?
It's everything you ever want.
I can listen to Hugh sing a song.
Belt a tune.
Sing a ballad.
Sing a tune.
Ballad about having...
Do any of us get to see him at his live show?
No.
I hear it's very good.
I hear that too. A lot of middle-aged women enjoy his shows, I believe.
Oh, I could imagine.
Yes. I believe that is the target demographic. Okay, here we go. Yeah. Let's enjoy the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer.
And you know what I might do so you guys can all see?
Ooh.
I actually might just do this. Sorry, team.
I'm very interested to see what's going to happen.
Because we are covering all of...
Yes. Fair.
All right, cool.
All right, here we go. Oh.
Oofed.
God. Same. very fun trailer.
Good song choice.
Very good song choice.
Yeah, and it doesn't reveal too much. Chris, what are your initial thoughts? Did it do anything?
Not interested at all. Looks fine.
Oh, really?
Looks fine. Just looks like all the others. Wolverine. Yeah, Yellow Wolverine was cool. That's the only thing that perked my interest.
I don't think it does look like the rest of the shit that Marvel's been dishing out, though.
But I haven't watched any of that shit. So I'm talking about prime Marvel.
Oh,
when I was done.
Chris is like, Endgame? Fuck that.
Endgame was fine.
Infinity War?
Infinity War was fine.
Yeah, this isn't for Chris.
That was all I needed. I was done.
Oh, bless. Bless, Chris. We love you. This looks really good. I'm not burnt out. I'm still enjoying superhero stuff. But
I'm extremely burnt out, not to the point where Chris, I'm burnt out of what they're currently doing, because I don't think what they're doing is justifying the means of continuing to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas Endgame and all that, I feel like, was a logical conclusion.
Yeah.
And or even just take a break for a bit, but they just kept kind of rolling through it.
Yeah. This seems
fresh enough for me.
Big exception to the rule. Like,
this is. Yeah, it just seems different, and I like that. I'm more impressed that Marvel just let him do another Deadpool film without limiting them. And I'm very surprised that Jackman came back still.
Yeah, and even just like, gotta say, getting a look at some of those like little setups and set pieces, like that's, I assume, just the surface. But like, if that's the surface level that they're ready to show us in terms of the trailer, not spoiling stuff for what will inevitably be a crazy bonkers, like, actual film, like, I understand why Jackman was like, yeah, get me back in.
Because
he looks fucking perfect.
He looks ripped. He looks jacked.
Dude, too. When he walks out with the sleeves off. Ooh.
And yeah, I liked, oddly, my favorite shot is his claws coming out through the cutouts in the costume.
Oh, it's so good, isn't it? Oh, yeah. You can feel it. My other favorite shot is when he's holding the gun up to him in the bar and he leans into it and smiles.
Yeah.
That's like, oh man, this Logan is deeply fucked up. So I'm very interested to hear more about that. The big, giant, dead Ant-Man is fantastic. We're getting some old man Logan stuff in there. It's cool. Very interested for people to learn about the villain. She's very interesting. There's a tiny shot in there when they do show that it is big dead Ant-Man and his skull steering in there and shit when the helmet's opening. There's a couple characters on the ground that if you really, really zoom in, like I did this afternoon, you can recognize some of them. And it's good fun to see who's there. Michael, had you seen it before or not?
No. It looks fun. What'd you think? I'm in. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like, I agree with the whole, whatever they're doing now is just not it. I'm sort of pretty done with it.
It's shit. I'm going to be honest. It's fucking shit.
It's time to stop. Look,
it's poo-poo.
They very much had a plan with... obviously, all the Infinity Saga. There was the clear-cut plan, and you could see it forming this. What is there? But this is going to be fun, I reckon. This is sort of what I'm here for.
I really think they're going to go into damage control and nitpick the parts that are working and continue with them, and the rest of it they're going to fucking throw in the bin.
Oh, yeah.
And it, honestly, this is kind of the film for that.
Yeah, but like... there's only a few things that are working. Eternals didn't work. Love and Thunder didn't work.
Oh, Love and Thunder.
As much as I kind of enjoyed Multiverse of Madness, I don't think that worked very well. Wakanda Forever was extremely forgettable.
Yeah, it's...
I think it was good in the moment and then sort of rode off of.
It was fine. It's one of those ones where it's just like, honestly, probably a 2.5 out of 5. Fine in the moment, extremely forgettable after watching.
I feel like, the only decent Guardians one, three is...
It's Guardians 3. Do you know why? Because it was made with someone who cared and loved and not someone who's just trying to dish out a movie for a deadline.
Yeah. It's almost like when you let the creators do their own work and not be so beholden to the overall thing, then you can get stuff that looks like this.
It's just why, you know, the original ones worked so well because they had a clear end goal in sight and they mapped everything.
Yeah.
And everyone was across the board. Whereas just what they're doing now is just, shit's weird. You got Nick Fury going from Secret Invasion to the Marvels and he's a completely different character.
Yeah, that was the whole thing.
Like characters were the same across movies. Like each movie's consequences.
Do you know relatively why? Affected because the they others. Brought in Infinity War, they brought in Gunn to ride in and do all the Guardian scenes so that they felt like the Guardians.
They brought in Taika Waititi to work with them on the Thor scenes.
Yeah. Did they? In Love and Thunder?
That can go in the fucking bin.
Currently have releases for Marvel movies until 2027.
No, I can't watch them do that to my girl.
Did you watch Love and Thunder? No, you didn't, did you?
Yeah.
There's a love triangle with Thor's hammer and his axe and Thor throughout the film.
And
whereas
they pull the same joke 3 separate times.
Comedy comes in threes. Like he'll be in this conversation or doing something with his axe and his hammer. You know, like with his hammer, vice versa. Axe is jealous of his relationship with him and the hammer.
Yeah.
Chris, you know the meme from The Office where Dwight's standing there and suddenly Angela's behind him and he freaks the fuck out?
Yeah.
They do that with that with the axe and Thor and
but the axe just floats over.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love and Thunder's a piece of shit.
It's terrible.
The only good thing about that movie is Christian Bale.
And even he was hamstrung.
Hardly in it, I hear.
Yeah.
Anyway. But let's not talk about that shit film anymore.
Yeah, Deadpool and Wolverine, it looks fun. And it's probably the most excited I've been for any superhero.
I feel like a fun place for Deadpool and Wolverine to end is the end credits. Deadpool sitting across the desk from Kevin Feige in Disney Marvel offices and him discussing what films and what TV shows they're going to keep and what they're moving forward with.
I came up with one idea which I thought would be very funny because obviously end game here is to bring Deadpool over to the main Marvel universe to stay.
Yeah.
I thought it would be really funny if they brought him over. The end of the film is them bringing him over. And every time he goes to swear at the end of the film, he's got a censor.
Oh.
And they set up a rule. But I would keep Deadpool and Wolverine, these two, I'd keep them together throughout other things. I would have them get the only swear words, the only F-bombs, because they've done it with Guardians 3 where they're willing to have one F-bomb in these PG-13 movies now. I would love it if Deadpool and Wolverine have to either play rock, paper, scissors in future thing to see who gets the F-bomb.
Yep. And it would be the exact type of thing where it's a scene where Deadpool goes, I want to say it. And he goes to do that with Wolverine. And Wolverine, not breaking the fourth wall, Wolverine's like, what the fuck? And he's like, damn it, what are you doing? And then he gets bleeped out and stuff. That'd be fun. They can do a lot of fun stuff with it. Turns out when you take two of the characters that people love the most with actors that fucking nail them and creative teams that should do well with them. It could be good. It looks good.
Yeah.
July, late July can't come soon enough.
It's still on my most anticipated now for the rest of the year is probably, I can't say the full guy cause that comes out tomorrow.
Does it?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Very excited for the full guy. Just because Bullet Train.
Just because Bullet Train.
Well, bullet train's great. What is it? It's fucking. It's Nosferatu, really.
Is that end
and
of the
I'm
year?
Interested in Glad. Yeah, I don't think it's even got a real date.
Hmm.
And maybe. Fucking, what's the other one? Furiosa, maybe. Or Gladiator 2. Gladiator 2 is more curiosity to see if Ridley can do it.
See if Ridley hasn't just completely lost it.
Yeah.
We will see. Cool. But is there anything else we want to chat about?
I'm good. I'm done.
I think that's all.
We didn't talk about it last week because it would have been a spoiler for Alex who hadn't watched any of Raw yet, but Rhea Ripley is sadly injured, like proper injured. She's out, had to relinquish the title. It's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
They apparently did a Battle Royale today that I haven't seen the result of, so I'm looking forward to watching that.
Yeah.
Get well soon, Demi. Bless. Yeah. Follow us on your podcast service of choice. Leave a review if you can. That'd be great. Subscribe on YouTube. Like and leave a comment and all that jazz. And as always...
I'm Alex.
I'm Braden.
I'm Christian.
And I'm Michael.
And he got there eventually. Goodbye, everyone.
They hit the second tower.